Welcome to G Talk. G Talk is a podcast dedicated to helping you discover your purpose by helping you build intimate relationships and a lifestyle of thankfulness. Listen to us today as we discuss a new challenging topic aimed to encourage you and to challenge you, but most importantly, to build you up in your relationships with each other and with God. Stay tuned. Welcome to G Talk, and we are your host, Terrence and Adara, and we are coming to you today, one more week into our podcast, talking about hymns and how they are affecting us in our Christian life and Christian walk. Today, honey, we are going to be talking about someone that really, there are so many hymns that she's written, it's certainly impossible to go through all of them, but the life behind this woman, Fanny J. Crosby. We want to spend some time and just talk about some of the hymns that she's written, as well as her life and how she can really inspire us to live like no one else, right?
That's good. She, from my understanding, she wrote over 9,000 hymns.
Amazing.
And to be blind.
Yes. Yeah. Blessed Assurance is one of the ones that, you know, obviously everyone probably has heard. But there are, you know, Pass Me By, there are numerous ones. You have some other ones there listed? I don't know. There are
so many,
yeah,
that do not, I like Do Not Pass Me By
and, yeah,
Blessed Assurance, and I just kept going through the
glory.
List. To God Be the Glory.
Yeah.
It was just, I think as we tap into her story, I like to just say this quote that she said, and she said, "When I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior."
Mm, yeah. Fanny wasn't born blind. Mm-hmm. She got sick when she was about 6 weeks old, and as a result of really a incompetent doctor, caused her to be blind. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that interests me about her that I've always, you know, not just that she has written so many hymns, but I remember when I was young, I think somebody may have said it, and then I realized not only did she write all these hymns, but on almost all of them, she talks about seeing. And I remember as a kid thinking to myself, that's kind of fascinating. Like, for instance, in the third verse of Blessed Assurance, let me read that to you. It says this, it says, "Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am in my Savior, am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love." Now, she couldn't really watch like we watch, and she can't look above like we look above. And so, you know, but almost every one of her songs describe terms about looking, watching, seeing, and yet this woman had really never seen, or at least, you know, not that she could remember ever seeing. Mm-hmm. But she never lived like she was a person who was a handicap. And for someone that, you know, lived in the 19th century, into the 20th century, early 20th century. I mean, you wouldn't expect, you know, the comforts that we have today. I mean, even Braille wasn't well used at that point. So she would have had every excuse to say, you know, I'm just an invalid and I can't do anything. But she didn't.
She didn't. What was interesting with her story as well is after about a year, her dad took ill and he died.
Hmm.
So her mom then had to go and work. So she was basically being raised by her grandmother Eunice during this time. And what was so beautiful is how the grandmother began to speak the beauty of God to her. She began to teach her the word at a very early age. I mean, she memorized chapters, passages that I don't think any of us can actually say a lot of us have done.
Yeah, I think it says she read the what she knew the first five books by heart of the Bible. She knew the Gospels by heart,
right?
Proverbs. I mean, she knew a great deal of scripture by heart.
And what to me is what is really beautiful in this story as well is the fact that we never know what impact we're having on someone's life. You know, a grandmother that took out time to deposit into this little girl's life. She would take her on walks and begin to describe what she was seeing to get her tapped into that her life still had purpose and meaning. So she never seen her blindness as a curse. But what I think I took away from when I was reading the story as well was that sometimes we think we need to have multitudes to lead to the Lord, that we really have made it because we can, you know, give our resume of how many people have come to the Lord through us. But sometimes we don't recognize that God will use you, and you figure she was depositing into this little girl's life for years before she went away to college. This grandmother kept, and I'm sure her mom as well, kept depositing the Lord into her life. That look at her story because one person or two people continue to model and to speak the word of God into this child's life, that to this day we are still singing her songs. Because this grandmother, you know, and you're looking at a single mom and a grandmother raising this baby girl, that they never seen it as a burden. They never, you know, a lot of times we want to push that person aside, and she could have just said, "You can just sit here and you're just going to be an invalid." She didn't never allowed her to think that way because of the word of God. She allowed the word of God was definitely in this grandmother's heart because she was relaying Jesus to her. But also, we never realize sometimes we will think God will have us spend a lot of years with a particular person. And we would, you know, you'll see multitudes come and go, friends come and go. Look how many people they lead to the Lord. And the Lord would just say, "This one right here, this is your ministry for this season of time." And you would wonder, couldn't she have, do you think she got tired? You know, did she didn't. She really, really deposited into this little girl's life to the point where she began to touch people's lives. And sometimes we don't realize we don't want to invest in someone's life because for many reasons sometimes. We have a short term, a short wick with people. But we don't realize that God chose you to be the one. And that when they get to heaven, what a reward you will receive for being faithful. And to see that this girl grows up to this woman to start writing songs at 40. And not only just so many, it just kept coming and coming because of her experience with God from what was rooted in her life at the beginning.
Yeah, it's a lot of writing. And it's a lot of songs, and we know that many of them, you know, are the ones that are sang pretty regularly within churches even today, all these years later. These aren't just hymns that got set aside somewhere. These were hymns that, as she talked about, she never wrote one without praying before to make sure that God was giving her the you know, that it was, you know, written when, and I forgot the word she
She
used.
said it like this. She said, when she was given this contract to write music, she said, "It may seem a little old-fashioned, but I always begin one work with prayer, I never undertake a hymn without first asking the good Lord to be my inspiration.
Yeah, I think we can all take that aside and say, are we asking God to inspire us every day at our jobs? Mm-hmm. You know, do we rise up and say, Lord, I want to go and work for you. Inspire me to do the job that I do with you know, by you. You know, I want to be inspired by you, regardless of what it is. Mm-hmm. Just give me the inspiration and the ability to work my job with you as my inspiration. Not the paycheck, not the boss, you know, not to, you know, get some kind of return, you know, but just simply, Lord, inspire me to be what you need me to be in this position. You know, inspire me to whatever I'm doing, that I could do it for you in a way that, you know, you would get the glory out of my life and whatever it is I'm doing, whether I'm teaching or you know, whatever would be my life. So I think she has kind of laid out some things for all of us to really chew on. And God really used her in a powerful way. And she, we were talking about Pass Me By, the song that she wrote, mm-hmm. and how she wrote it from, I think, hearing a prisoner, right? Mm-hmm. I think that was the...
She was walking by a prisoner, and the prisoner said, Lord, please don't pass me by.
Mm.
While she was walking by a prisoner.
Yeah, see, I always thought that song was written from, you know, one of the ones that, you know, I think one of the ones, blind Bartimaeus, there are several that kept crying out to Jesus. I think Bartimaeus was the one that comes to mind, that kept crying out to Jesus, you know, Lord, you know, have mercy on me, and got, you know, so I always kind of looked at that as being the inspiration story. For that right. song. I didn't know it was
it was her personal story. Yeah. That she was walking by a prisoner, and you figure she couldn't see him.
Yeah,
but she heard him.
Yeah,
and she heard him say, and then again, there she was inspired. If I could pick one word, I would say selfless.
Mm.
A selfless grandmother, selfless mom,
mm.
and she was selfless.
Mm. Yeah,
and when you're selfless, then God is able to use you, because it's not about you.
Yeah.
You have died, and now it's all about God having glory, because it's not about you. You're wanting him to be glorified in everything that you do. So when I read her story, I see selfless, and I recognize that we place conditions, and that's how I know that we haven't died to self.
Yeah.
Because when we die to self, it's no longer about my convenience. It's about lives. It's, you know, I'm here because it's no longer about me. It's about him.
Yeah.
And for someone to be so young to grasp that and to begin to live that and to write in her songs, and not only to make, especially when she actually connected with the blind school, and it really became very well known because of the songs that she wrote and going to college there. But again, this was really about being selfless.
Yeah. You know, I know that we're not even touching, because there's not a lot said about the difficulty that she must have endured,
mm-hmm.
you know, but being a blind person at that time, there was, you know, for any person carrying any kind of a, you know, handicap of that sort, there is going to be a great deal of disrespect that people would have carried towards someone like that. And the thing is that when I looked at, you know, and I'm looking at her life, it says that she wrote, I think, 5 cantatas. They were like one of the first person to, and they weren't all Christian cantatas. These were used in the secular world, but it gave inspiration. But there always was, of course, a Christian theme behind it. But, you know, that she was so... effect, they said that she was a household name at that time, and that was a whole lot more difficult than in our day, when we've got social media where you can get your name out. I mean, there's a blind woman who has become so well known that everybody knew who she was, and everybody knew that she stood for the Lord. They said she was a speaker that traveled, that they gave opportunity to. And just, you know, just you just look at all these things, how God used her And what does it say? It should, hopefully this is inspiring us today in living the kind of life that we can live. You know, she had so many disadvantages and still performed and was able to, you know, ascend and become, you know, something through God. Certainly you and I and all those who are listening today can become what God has called us to be. Mm-hmm. And we certainly can't look at anything that may have happened to us and use that as an excuse for not pushing forward and becoming what we need to be. She is that kind of an inspiration.
That's right. And so when we leave, I leave with a quote. She refused to let her blindness be anything other than a blessing from God.
Hmm.
She was 95 when she died, and she was then able to see her Savior with his nail prints and the shining face of him seeing, you know, it's kind of like I can only imagine that the joy that she finally got to see him. But I know that she lived a life that honored God. She honored him. And I believe as we close and look at our lives, let's not allow our circumstances to be an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even an option.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, go get it done. If you're listening to us, we just say be encouraged. Take this woman's life. Let it inspire you to go out and be all that God's called you to be. That's all you got to do.
Selfless love.
Selfless love. Go do what God's called you to do. You can't be anyone else. Be yourself. Go do what God's called you to do. And that will amaze people around you. Have a great week. We love you. We'll come back again next week with something fresh.
G-Talk is a ministry of Hope for You International, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find us on the web at thankfultoday.com and gtalk.info. You can also find us on Facebook at The Thankful Today.